So, what are you asking the Lord for in 2026? What are you praying for as we set out into this new year? What do you want from God? Many of us start the year by making some goals, right? We're going to lose the weight we put on during Christmas. And we're going to get shredded, right? That just doesn't sound good to me. Who wants to be shredded? We're going to read our Bibles from cover to cover. We're going to get our finances back under control. We're going to pray more. Those are all good things to aim at. I'm asking, what are you going to pray? When you're praying more, what are you going to pray for? What are you asking the Lord for in 2026? As I thought about where to start our study of the Bible this first Sunday of the year, I quickly settled on Psalm 27, one of the Psalms of King David. It's a beautiful psalm, one of the boldest and brightest in the whole Psalter. And it starts with one of the most exuberant and positive expressions of confidence in the Lord in the whole Bible. Verse 1 is one that every single Christian should have committed to memory and stored up in our hearts. We're going to say it Sunday after Sunday for the next few weeks, maybe the next few months. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Amen? Amen. What a great declaration to begin a new year. But the main reason I settled on Psalm 27 for us today is that King David also has one big prayer request in this psalm. He's got one main thing that he's praying for with his whole heart. He sings it in verse 4. Excuse me. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. If you want to know David's heart, it's right here. He's a man after God's own heart, right? He had a heart for the heart of God. What was central for David? It's right here. And I think that that one thing that David wants should be the one thing that we want too in 2026. The one thing that we pray for in 2026, the one thing that we seek. What is that? We will see. But let's start where David starts his song, Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. Heather Joy, would you mind getting me a glass of water? I'm going to get parched here again. Psalm 27, verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evil men advance against me to devour my flesh, when my enemies and my foes attack me, they'll stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then will I be confident. Boy, doesn't that sound great? Psalm 27 is a psalm of glad-hearted confidence. David is scared of nothing. Nothing scares David. At the start of this song, David is not afraid of anything that is coming at him in life. Now, that doesn't mean that he won't have trouble. David could foresee lots of trouble in the future, right? David had enemies left, right, and center. He was constantly under attack nearly his whole life. And not just from other nations. David was attacked by members of his own family, his father-in-law, his son. David looked out on his future and he can imagine evil men coming at him like a pack of wolves to eat up his flesh. He can imagine war coming at him with enemies on every side. But is he scared? Not in the slightest. He says, my heart will not fear. In fact, he sings it. My heart will not fear. Because he expects to win. He expects his enemies to stumble and fall. They might rise like Haman did, boo hiss, but they're going to fall. Thank you, Heather Joy. Like Haman did as well. It doesn't matter what they throw against me, David says. Even then will I be confident. Is that how you are going into 2026? Some of you are, right? Some of you are like busting into 2026 and you're like, do your worst, year. Come on, my heart will not fear. I want to be like that. I want to feel that glad-hearted confidence and sing it out. What was David's secret? His secret was he didn't focus on his enemies. He focused on his ally, right? He focused on the Lord. David does not say, I'm not afraid of my enemies. I'm stronger than them. I'm going to be tough this year. I'm going to be unbeatable. No. What does he say? The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He's not looking at how big he is. He's looking at how big his God is. David is not confident in himself, but in the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D always means Yahweh, the covenant name for God. He says that the Lord is his light. What a beautiful declaration. How simple, right? The Lord is my light. That's a very simple statement. It's right up there with the Lord is my shepherd, isn't it? Notice that the Lord doesn't just provide light to David. He doesn't just send light to David. He is David's light, personally. And that means so much. Light stands for everything that is good. Light stands for everything that is positive. Warmth, guidance, blessing, holiness, wonder, glory. The Lord is all of that for David and so much more. I've been walking in the dark this winter. I get up before the sun does, and I put on my high-vis vest and my flashlight and my heated gloves and my little cleats on my shoes, and I go out in the dark, and I walk down to the end of Viaduct Road. It's good for me to get my steps in, even in the dark, but it's dark. A few days last month, especially because of the holiday, I got to sleep in a little bit. And when I was coming back on my walk, the sun was coming up. This really doesn't get across, but the sun starts to come up behind my back, and I can feel it crawling up my back. Like, ooh, there's warmth there. And then I see it on the trees. They're kind of red, and then they get all golden. And then I turned around, and I took this picture. It looks better on Facebook. You have to check it out there. The Lord is my light and my salvation, he says. Again, the Lord doesn't just send salvation to David. He is his salvation. The light dispels the darkness. The light saves the king from the danger. And then David asks this question. If that's true, whom shall I fear? What's the answer to that question? No one. Nobody. And then he has another metaphor for the Lord, for Yahweh. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. What does that mean? It means that the Lord is his protection. The Lord is the place that David goes to feel safe. Where do you go when you need to feel safe? What's your stronghold? Where do you run? A mighty fortress is David's God, he says. He runs to the Lord and is safe. And then he asks the question, if this is true, if the Lord is my stronghold, of whom should I be afraid? What's the answer to that one? Same answer, nobody. In other words, if God is for us, who can be against us? No one. Now, lots of people can be against us, but none of them will prevail. David felt this way for good reason. He was the anointed king of Israel, and he had been promised success against his earthly foes by the Lord. He had been promised by God in 2 Samuel 7 that his kingdom would prosper and he would have rest from all of his enemies. David, who had so little rest from his enemies in his life, was promised he would have it. He believed it was true. The Lord would be his light. The Lord would be his salvation. The Lord would be his stronghold. And David, as he trusted and obeyed the Lord, would just win and win and win and win. So does this mean that Christians today will never lose a battle? That all we're going to do in 2026 is win, 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 win? No. And yes. Because the Lord has promised that ultimately we will never lose to our true enemies. Our enemies are not quite like David's. They're not flesh and blood. They're more spiritual than that, darker and more sinister, but just as defeated. The Apostle Paul said, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword?" No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because he is our light and our salvation and the stronghold of our life, whom shall we fear? Now I want to sing like this. I want to sing like King David, even with my croaky voice. It's not always easy. Sometimes I have to sing verse 1 more like this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Don't forget that, oh my soul. The Lord is the stronghold of my life, even though it doesn't feel like it right now. I'm running to you, Lord. Help me to find my safety and security in you. Help me, Lord, to not be afraid. The key is to focus on the Lord and not on our enemies. And that's the number one thing that David prays for in Psalm 27, that he would focus on the Lord like no other. Look at verse 4. "One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Psalm 27 is a song of glad-hearted confidence and also of single-hearted devotion. One thing, he says. One thing I ask of the Lord. This is what I seek. Now, David asks for lots of things, doesn't he? He's constantly praying for things. He'll pray for more than one thing in this song about praying for one thing. But he means that there's one central thing that all the other things orbit. He means there's one thing that is more important than all the other things. He means that all those other things come from this one thing. He means that there is ultimately just one thing. And that is to truly know God. He puts it in terms that his fellow Old Testament Israelites would understand. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Does David mean that literally? I don't think so. David was never going to move into the tabernacle, or after his son built it, into the temple. "I'll just set up my bed here next to the Holy of Holies." I don't think so, David. And he doesn't expect to actually see God face to face in the temple. He knows that what the Lord told Moses, "You cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." But David does want to be with the Lord. He wants to know the Lord intimately, truly, at the heart level. He says he wants to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him. In other words, he wants to be close to God. He wants to know what God is like. He wants to ponder God's glory. He wants to think about how his God is his light and salvation and stronghold and so much more. And David doesn't just want to do it a little bit and then be done. Like, okay, I got my God fix. That's enough. I think, yeah, that's good. I'm good. No, he wants to linger. He wants to gaze. He wants to focus. He wants to ponder and never stop. He says, all the days of my life. Do those words sound familiar to you? All the days of my life? Some of you are like, yeah, that's a soap opera on television. Others of you are thinking, Psalm 23, right? Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. Same Hebrew words. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, we know what that's what heaven will be like. What we read about last week in Revelation 22. David's one thing is that he wanted to know God. And I think that should be our one thing in 2026. As well. There's going to be so many things coming at you, vying for your attention this year. What's going to be your one thing? David wanted to keep his focus on the Lord, and that is where he got his confidence. You see that in verse 5? For, how he ties it together, he wants to see God. For, in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his tabernacle will I sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. David expects to be rescued and to win, not because of his superior wisdom or fighting skills, but because he belongs to Yahweh. David will be safe. Do you hear all the words that kind of express his feelings of safety and security? The words of home. He uses a lot of different words for a home. Dwelling, shelter, tabernacle. David expects to run home safe to the Lord. He is his stronghold. And if the Lord is your stronghold, you can't lose. So he expects to worship with shouts of joy. And sing songs like we're going to do in a minute, Amazing Grace. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we'd first begun. And then in verse 7, the song changes. All of a sudden, there's a different kind of vibe to this song. It's a different mood. You might have caught it when Copper read to us. David has been so positive and confident and expectant, and then all of a sudden he's crying out for mercy and help. Look at verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. Kind of sounds different, doesn't it? I don't know if something has changed in his circumstances or maybe just in his heart, in his feelings. I know I've gone from highs to lows, sometimes in a very short amount of time. David does it while singing the same song. Is verse 7 more like how you're going into 2026? Notice that his focus doesn't change. He's still focused on the Lord. He's crying out to the Lord, and he has the same one thing that he's aiming at. The same one thing that he's seeking, whether he's excited and exuberant, or he's feeling it, the pressure. He's seeking one thing. What is it? The Lord's face. Look at verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Now, the Hebrew there is kind of difficult to translate. Some of your versions may have as the Lord saying to David and others, seek my face. There in the middle. That might be right. The word for seek there is plural. But either way, David answers back either to his own heart saying that he ought to do it or to the Lord's call. Your face, Lord, I will seek. I will make you my top priority, Lord. I will make knowing you my top priority. You are my one thing. Have you said this to God yet in 2026? Have you told the Lord that you are going to seek his face? A lot of us make resolutions. Do you dare to tell the Lord, this year I'm going to seek your face? 1 Chronicles 16:11, look to the Lord in his strength. Seek his face always. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land, he said to the Israelites. Psalm 105:3, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Make this your overriding desire to know God. There is no greater thing. Psalm 27 makes me think about Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talks about how there is no greater thing than knowing Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul writes, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. He says, I want to know Christ, to seek his face. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Paul says, not that I've already obtained all this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but, what does he say? One thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Here at Lance Free Church, we call that a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. One thing, seek his face in single-hearted devotion. The thing that scares King David the most is not losing a battle. It's losing sight of the face of Yahweh. Look at verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior. You see how he's pleading with God to not leave him alone? That's the worst thing that could ever happen. Now, he doesn't think it will. He knows that God has saved him in the past, and he believes that he will receive him in the future. He calls God my Savior, which is a callback to verse 1, my salvation. And then he says, verse 10, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Now, I don't think that means that his parents had abandoned him. I think it's just theoretical. It could mean that by then they had died and left him, but the Lord never would. Either way, even if David lost the loving presence of his parents, he knows that by God's grace he will never lose the Lord's face. So he will ever seek the Lord's face. Do you feel the confidence that's still thrumming through this part of the song? David knows he's a sinner, and he knows that he can lose the blessing of the Lord by taking his eyes off of him. He's done that before, but he also knows that God is full of amazing grace for sinners such as he is. And he wants to know God more and more. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Look at verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. King David asks the Lord to give him direction. Teach me your way, lead me on a straight path. That's another great thing for us to pray for in 2026, that the Lord would give us guidance. But David doesn't just ask for direction, he asks to be shown the Lord's way. He wants to do things God's way. He wants to know God's will. Part of seeking God's face is seeking God's will. Of course, we learn that by learning God's word. Seeking the Lord's face will change the direction of your life. Some people want to become Christians as long as it doesn't change anything in their lives. How's that working for you? As long as it doesn't affect their relationships, their money, their habits, what they do with their time. Show me your face, Lord. Just don't readjust my priorities. Doesn't work. What changes do you know the Lord is calling you to make this year so that you are truly seeking after him? Do you dare to pray, verse 11? Teach me your way, O Lord. David knows that the Lord's way is the only way out of his problems. He's got enemies rising up left and right, breathing out violence. But he knows if the Lord makes his path straight, then he will slide right by them. Lead me in a straight path. Does that sound familiar to you? Is that a call back to something else in the Bible? It's basically the same words as Proverbs 3:6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And then in verse 13, David's confidence shines through again. Verse 13. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Psalm 27 is a song of glad-hearted confidence, single-hearted devotion, and wholehearted assurance. David sounds, to me, quieter at the end of his song than he was at the beginning. He's not so declarative and boisterous and exuberant. It's less woohoo. It's more as like, yeah. But he's still believing. I'm still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord, the face of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, for David, that probably meant rescue from his enemies and winning at warfare. He won't die, but we'll see the kingdom promises of God be fulfilled in his day. But we know that they were only partially fulfilled in David's day. We know there was still a son of David that needed to come and be born in the city of David to bring all of those promises, all of that goodness to the fullest fulfillment forever and ever. So we can pray this too. We are still confident of this. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the ever-living for all who belong to Jesus Christ. I hope that's all of us here today. King David ends his song with an exhortation to wait. I'm not sure if he's saying verse 14 to other people like you and me who are listening to his song, or if he's saying it to his own heart. Might be both. Wait for the Lord, Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. He will come through. Remind yourself of this as you walk into 2026. The Lord will come through. Put your hope in Him. He is your light. He is your strength. He is your salvation. He is your stronghold. Of whom should you be afraid? No one. Tell your heart. Seek His face. And wait for the Lord to appear. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. Make that your one thing.